This is the South America Debrief by Atlas News. Welcome to the South America Debrief by Atlas News, where we delve into the biggest stories of the region and give you an in-depth breakdown and analysis. Starting off, Colombia's pursuit of peace takes a step back as the government resumes military operations against a faction of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, FARC. This podcast unpacks the recent attack by the FARC EMC that shattered a ceasefire agreement and the complexities surrounding the ongoing conflict in Colombia. The FARC EMC is a dissident faction that refused to disarm under the 2016 peace deal between the Colombian government and the main FARC group. This deal, spearheaded by President Juan Manuel Santos, aimed to end decades of armed conflict that has claimed countless lives. Following the 2016 deal, a fragile peace emerged. However, tensions flared up again in March 2024, when the FARC EMC, led by Iván Mordisco, attacked an indigenous community. This attack, which resulted in casualties, violated the ceasefire agreement negotiated by the current president, Gustavo Petro. Petro's administration is centered around achieving total peace in Colombia. This ambitious plan involves negotiating ceasefires with various armed groups, including the FARC EMC, with the ultimate goal of disarmament and reintegration into society. The government's renewed offensive against the FARC EMC is likely to trigger further violence, particularly in rural areas where the group has a strong presence. This violence could undermine Petro's peace efforts and derail the progress made since the 2016 deal. However, it's important to remember that ceasefire violations are not uncommon in this protracted conflict. Both sides have been accused of breaking truces in the past. The government's decision to resume military operations might find some support among Colombians who oppose Petro's peace talks. Protests against the president's policies, including total peace, have recently erupted, with some arguing for a tougher stance against groups like the FARC EMC. To understand the current situation, we need to delve into the history of the FARC. Originally a leftist rebel group formed during a period of violence known as La Violencia, the FARC has been a major player in the Colombian conflict for decades. Despite the 2016 peace deal, the FARC EMC's resurgence demonstrates the challenges Colombia faces in achieving lasting peace. The path forward requires addressing the root causes of the conflict, dismantling armed groups, and ensuring justice for victims. Whether President Petro's total peace plan can achieve this remains to be seen. Next, the U.S. and Guyana have inked a new deal to strengthen their security cooperation. This podcast dives into the details of this agreement and explores its significance in the fight against crime in the region. The agreement builds upon the existing Caribbean Basin Security Initiative, CBSI, a partnership between the U.S. and 13 Caribbean nations, including Guyana. Launched in 2010, the CBSI focuses on tackling shared security challenges like drug trafficking, border security, and gang violence. Ambassador Nicole Theriot of the U.S. Embassy in Georgetown emphasized the core values underpinning this partnership: mutual respect, collaboration, and friendship. She highlighted the shared commitment to democracy, human rights, and the rule of law that fuels this cooperation. The new agreement brings several benefits to Guyana. The U.S. will provide an additional $300,000 to support crime management and expedite Guyana's integration into regional security efforts. This includes working with Guyana to dismantle organized crime networks, particularly those involved in drug trafficking. The U.S. will also bolster Guyana's counter-narcotics capabilities by collaborating with the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA. This collaboration aims to address the significant amount of cocaine passing through Guyana. Additionally, the U.S. will provide training to the Guyanese Police Force, GPF, to improve their ability to provide medical care in rural areas. Furthermore, the U.S. plans to deploy a team of FBI technicians to major Guyanese ports. This team will upgrade the country's fingerprint identification system, IAFIS. The U.S. will also invest $350,000 in the Better Police Readiness Program. This program will enhance the GPF's training in crime scene investigation, forensics, hostage negotiation, crisis communication, and community engagement. The U.S. commitment to Guyana extends beyond this agreement. Since the inception of the CBSI in 2010, the U.S. has invested over $832 million in security assistance for Caribbean partners. This commitment underscores the U.S.'s interest in maintaining regional stability in the Caribbean and surrounding areas. In conclusion, the U.S.-Guyana Security Partnership signifies a collaborative effort to combat crime and strengthen regional security. This agreement equips Guyana with additional resources and expertise to tackle drug trafficking, improve law enforcement capabilities, and ultimately enhance public safety. Now, in a major blow to drug traffickers, Bolivian police seized over 7 tons of cocaine near the country's border with Chile. This haul marks the second largest drug bust in Bolivian history, raising questions about the future of drug trafficking in the South American nation. The cocaine, discovered hidden inside 2 trucks, was estimated to have a street value of nearly $500,000 upon reaching its presumed destination. Belgium, a major European drug hub. Bolivian authorities believe the operation was meticulously planned for months, culminating in the weekend seizure. Interior Minister Eduardo del Castillo highlighted the impressive scale of the bust. After inspecting the trucks, officials noticed suspicious characteristics in the cargo and drilled into it, revealing a significant amount of cocaine. While celebrating the successful operation, officials pointed fingers over a potential leak that may have allowed the main suspect to escape to the United States. Ismael Vilca, head of Bolivia's Special Forces to Fight Drug Trafficking, FELQUEN, blamed a prosecutor from Oruro for releasing photos of the operation, tipping off the suspect. The public ministry, however, vehemently denied any leaks from their side. They claimed the information was released over 36 hours after the operation took place, making it highly unlikely to have aided the suspect's escape. They further argued that details of the operation were already common knowledge among local authorities in Pisiga, the border town where the seizure occurred. This record-breaking seizure comes amidst a worrying trend for Bolivia. The country has quickly become a major player in cocaine production, a significant shift from its past role as a transit hub for cocaine headed to Chile and Brazil. Analysts attribute this transformation to several factors, including the rise of leftist President Luis Arce in 2020, increased demand for cocaine in neighboring countries, crackdowns on cocaine production in traditional hubs like Colombia. Data corroborates this trend. Bolivian authorities report a staggering 62% increase in cocaine seizures between 2022 and 2023. Experts warn that without decisive action from Bolivian authorities, the country faces a dire future. A surge in cocaine production could lead to a rise in crime and the proliferation of powerful narco gangs. This scenario resembles the security struggles faced by El Salvador and Colombia in their battles against drug trafficking. The recent seizure is a significant victory, but it remains to be seen if Bolivian authorities can effectively curb the production and trafficking of cocaine within the country. Only time will tell if they can prevent Bolivia from descending into the chaos often associated with the drug trade. Next, Colombia is on high alert following a leaked report detailing a potential assassination campaign by the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, FARC. This pistol plan targets members of the Colombian military, police, and Attorney General's office, raising fears of a return to violence after a fragile ceasefire crumbled. The plan, obtained by Colombian radio station Caracol Radio, reveals the FARC-EMC faction's intention to carry out attacks in major cities like Cali, Pasto, and Popayan. Authorities are also investigating the possibility of similar attacks in the capital, Bogota. Other municipalities across Colombia, including those in conflict-ridden regions like Caquetá and Nariño, are also on the radar. The FARC's goal seems to be to instill fear in public servants, particularly those in the security forces. By carrying out random assassinations, they hope to deter authorities from effectively carrying out their duties. This tactic is not new, having been employed by the FARC and other armed groups in Colombia and elsewhere. This alarming development comes just days after President Gustavo Petro dissolved the ceasefire between the government and the FARC. The truce came to an end after a FARC attack on an indigenous community, where a community leader was killed and others were injured. This incident was followed by a further attack on the community transporting the leader's body. Petro's plan to achieve total peace through diplomacy and ceasefires appears to be faltering. The lack of action against the FARC, despite the ceasefire, sparked protests last week. The Colombian military has already clashed with the FARC in southern Colombia, where the group holds significant influence. The FARC, originally a leftist guerrilla group fighting for social change, has a long and complex history. Formed in the wake of Colombia's violent period known as La Violencia, the group initially consisted of only 48 fighters. Over time, their ranks swelled, and their operations expanded with the rise of the cocaine trade. Following a significant period of armed conflict, the FARC agreed to a ceasefire with the government in 2016. However, a faction known as the Estado Mayor Central, EMC, refused to disarm and continues to operate against the Colombian state. With the ceasefire dissolved, Colombia seems headed for renewed conflict, particularly in areas where the FARC holds power. The success of the pistol plan could cripple Colombian law enforcement's ability to function effectively. This situation comes amidst a broader offensive targeting both the FARC and the National Liberation Army of Colombia, ELN. The future of Colombia remains uncertain. The government's efforts to achieve peace appear to be failing, raising concerns about a return to the dark days of widespread violence. Only time will tell if Colombia can overcome these challenges and find a path towards lasting peace. In a surprising turn of events, Colombia's largest drug trafficking organization, Clan del Golfo, has agreed to peace talks with the government. This development comes amidst President Petro's ongoing pursuit of total peace in the war-torn nation. A potential ceasefire. Following President Petro's offer of negotiations if Clan del Golfo abandoned drug trafficking and other criminal activities, the group has expressed interest in dialogue. However, Clan del Golfo denies any involvement in human trafficking. This ruthless organization controls vast swaths of Colombian territory, particularly along the northern and western coasts, a crucial smuggling route for cocaine heading to the United States. Their annual revenue is estimated at a staggering $4 billion. President Petro's willingness to negotiate with Clan del Golfo aligns with his broader plan to end Colombia's six-decade-long civil conflict. He has already attempted peace talks with other armed groups, including the National Liberation Army, ELN, and a dissident faction of the FARC known as FARC-EMC. However, the recent attack by FARC-EMC on an indigenous community shattered a previous ceasefire agreement. Previously, Colombian law prevented peace talks with Clan del Golfo, classifying them as a criminal group rather than an insurgent one. However, the Supreme Court's 2023 ruling allows negotiations with criminal groups, although disarmament is off the table. This weakens Petro's bargaining power as disarmament offers a more definitive path towards peace. The potential peace talks with Clan del Golfo could significantly reduce violence between the group and the government. However, the safety of rural communities and indigenous people remains a concern unless proper safeguards are implemented. This mirrors the situation with the now broken FARC ceasefire. This development comes after a renewed offensive against Clan del Golfo following the 2023 arrest of their leader, alias Otoniel. Clan del Golfo emerged from the ashes of the AUC, a right-wing paramilitary group. The AUC itself was a merger of several smaller groups formed in response to leftist guerrilla activity. Following a controversial peace deal in 2003, the AUC disbanded, leaving behind numerous successor groups, including Clan del Golfo. The group inherited significant territory and continues various illicit activities, such as extortion, kidnapping, and most importantly, cocaine production and trafficking. Their control of the Caribbean coastline grants them a direct smuggling route to the United States. The success of peace talks and the future of Colombia remain uncertain. While Clan del Golfo's willingness to negotiate might be linked to the recent breakdown of the FARC ceasefire, it offers a glimmer of hope for ending decades of violence. Whether this translates into lasting peace depends on the Colombian government's ability to secure a sustainable agreement and address the root causes of conflict in rural areas. Finally, Venezuela's recent arrest of over 30 individuals, including opposition staffers and human rights lawyers, has cast a shadow over the upcoming presidential election. The government claims these individuals were involved in plots to harm President Maduro, while critics denounce the arrests as a ploy to stifle dissent. The Venezuelan government accuses the arrested individuals of plotting various acts, including military sabotage, assassination, and destabilization of the country. Attorney General Tarek William Saab claims to have evidence, including confessions and seized devices. The opposition, led by presidential candidate Frederico Machado, vehemently denies the charges. Machado herself has been barred from running due to a corruption allegation, a claim she also contests. Her campaign manager is among those arrested. International human rights organizations and the UN have condemned the arrests, viewing them as politically motivated attempts to silence opposition voices. They argue these actions undermine the democratic process ahead of the July 28th election, The United States has also voiced concerns and reimposed some sanctions on Venezuela. The pressure is on for Venezuela to comply with an October agreement that promised some relief from sanctions in exchange for progress toward a fair election. The Biden administration has set an April deadline and warned of further sanctions if there's no improvement. This is not the first time Maduro's government has cracked down on dissent. Following his widely criticized 2018 re-election, similar arrests of opposition leaders occurred. Maduro has consistently accused the U.S. of plotting against him. The upcoming election's legitimacy hinges on creating a fair and open environment for all candidates. The international community is closely monitoring the situation, and the pressure on Maduro to adhere to democratic norms is high. Whether Venezuela can hold a credible election with a truly diverse range of voices participating remains to be seen.